and welcome to United Parents Podcast. This is podcast number 3. Thank you for joining us. I'm Scott Kekin.
And I'm Scott McVarish.
Before we get started, I just wanted to give a shout out to our music composer, Wonder. That's 1DR. He put together that lovely track that gives us our intro and outro.
It was pretty wonderful.
So, we're going to start with some CCUSD news and analysis.
Then we're going to move to some parent union news about Prop 32 and Prop 38.
We have some United Parents of Culver City news and calendar events.
We have an interview with the PTA Council President here in Culver City, who is also a UPCC member.
Then we have some best practices going on right now in Culver City. Let's get started. Scott, what's going on in CCUSD?
There's a lot of stuff happening in Culver City, and a lot of it most parents really don't know. So what we do at United Parents of Culver City is we gather the best ideas and the critiques from parents and their concerns. And part of our process is bringing it to the attention of the district. We do a lot of collaborative work with our excellent new superintendent, Dave LaRose, and we meet with him on a monthly basis. UPCC brings a very long list of issues to deal with, and he is very patient and very dedicated during those meetings to help us resolve those issues. All that being said, I'm just going to give a tiniest critique over, I think, a very important issue from our last meeting. And that had to do with the STEM program at El Rincon. United Parents of Culver City have been pushing since we were founded in May of 2012 to get a more fleshed out STEM program. We're very glad to see the superintendent is in complete alignment with that. To paraphrase him, he basically said, you can't just call yourself a STEM school and leave it at that. You need to make that real and need to see what is happening and what that means for the students when you call yourself STEM. And STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math, which are very important career paths in our future economy. So he's done the great work of bringing in an expert from our local university, Loyola Marymount University. But here's where the critique comes in. He is going to have that LMU expert meet with the teachers to kind of pull together a game plan, which is absolutely essential, but it doesn't seem like parents are going to be involved at the inception of that. And that's where we believe there can be some room for improvement. We want to see parents at the very beginning. We want to see parents at those meetings with teachers. I think the teachers would get more excited as they see parents buying in and vice versa. I think it would be a very positive loop. So that is one little issue in CCUSD news. The new superintendent is absolutely making things happen with the El Rincon STEM program and the science lab, and we just want to make sure parents are involved from the get-go.
And I think that's just a general important analysis that Scott just made about having parents at the bargaining table for important issues. We do offer a unique perspective on what's happening in the school district. And we also have many people who are parents who also happen to be educators, like myself, who have been involved in education for many, many years. We're not offering expertise in education, but we are offering our expertise as parents. Next up, we have some parent union news. And the big news is about the recent election last November. We had two very important propositions on the ballot, Props 30 and Props 38. And we are very happy to report, as you may know, that Prop 30 passed. Barely, but it passed. And we're very happy that you got out and voted in favor of Prop 30, and hopefully you voted for Prop 38. Prop 38 did not do as well. In fact, it was trounced almost at a 2-to-1 margin, if not more. Prop 30 is going into effect. We will not have any immediate cuts to our school district this year. And recently, we just had a budget workshop to talk about some of the income that will be coming into the Culver City United School District.
So for all those parents listening out there, realize that money is determined by the school board, how it's going to be spent. A lot of those decisions are made at the bargaining table. Right now, it's just the district and the unions are at that bargaining table, so that's where parents need to be more involved. The reason why we called this a parent union issue was Prop 38 would have raised so much more money for the schools than Prop 30, but the parents didn't support it, and they didn't know about it. And at the end of the day, I think Prop 38 failed because we don't have enough parent unions in California. In fact, there's really only two or three, with us being the third. Maybe there's four, depending on who you count. So we need more parent unions. This is a pivotal moment in public education. Everybody wants to reform it, but no one wants to bring the parents in. And that's what we are here for, is to make sure the parents' voices are heard. If the NRA can do it for guns, if the AARP can do it for seniors, then gosh darn it, we can do it for our kids.
I absolutely agree with that. We're going to go into some news and calendar events. Scott, what just happened recently?
Well, we had a great representative council meeting for the United Parents of Culver City. For every five members you have at a school, you are entitled to a rep. We have a great core of reps. They meet on a once every 2 months basis, and they bring a whole bunch of issues to the table. And then we decide what we're going to do on each of those issues. So at our last meeting, a couple issues we decided to take no action on. But a couple issues we will either be meeting with the superintendent on and hopefully resolving it. So far, our track record and his track record have been very good in that matter. But we also created five different teams. And I will go over those teams right now. We have a student well-being team. That's going to talk about a lot of the health issues our students are facing from
nutrition.
That's right, to dirty air, to even having sunshades over the play equipment. We have the secondary parent engagement team, and that is a recognition that parents aren't as involved in the middle school and high school, partly because the structures just don't exist there, and United Parents of Culver City want to change that. What else do we have, Scott?
We also have a team forming to talk about parking and traffic. That's that morning drop-off that all of us dread every morning, trying to drop our kids off first thing. Like today, it was raining, and it was horrific.
You can't get more nuts and bolts than that for a group like ours. And then the next two issues are, I think, kind of higher-end issues. We've got a bargaining team that's going to be looking at the calendar issue and trying to engage with the district over the calendar, because people, it does matter if we have a two-week spring break versus a one-week spring break and then maybe days off for Rosh Hashanah and other holidays where we already lose revenue because parents keep their kids out. Issues like that on the calendar. And then finally,
we have a education excellence team, and this is going to look at issues such as scholar classes and the GATE program and really making sure that Culver City United continues to deliver excellent education to all our children.
That's right. One member, Dan O'Brien, even said, hey, why, if we can't offer all the AP classes that we want for our kids, why can't we let some of our kids enroll in some of the online AP classes that we don't offer? Folks, that is a parent perspective. You're going to hear that from a parent before you hear that from anybody. But if there's no United Parents of Culver City, that one parent's voice doesn't get magnified. So that's what United Parents of Culver City are doing. We're going to meet again in January. If you want to be a rep, contact us at president@unitedparentsculvercity.com. Okay, so we are at the podcast interview portion, and we are very happy to have Leslie Gardner with us. Leslie is the PTA president for all of Culver City Unified School District, and her kids, both of them, are at the high school here in Culver City. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Leslie. First question is, what do you do as the PTA president of Culver City District School District? Or what is your official title?
I'm the president of the Culver City Council of PTAs, and we help, we serve all the school PTAs. We help them do what they do best. Put on programs and fundraise.
Well, there's a part of what you do that is very interesting to us here at United Parents of Culver City, and that's the lobbying part. PTA is a juggernaut for fundraising at school sites, and I think people who are not involved in PTA don't realize you guys have a very important role in Sacramento with the politicians up there. Can you tell us about the work you do in Sacramento?
Sure. The most important aspect of PTA as a whole is advocating for the schools, for funding for our schools, and for children. So in Sacramento, every year we send three students and anywhere from four to five parents to meet with our legislators and talk about the issues that are facing the public schools.
I see. So is that an all-expense-paid trip?
It's an all-expense-paid trip. Yep, we pay for all the students and all the parents.
All right. How do we get in on that?
Well, you actually volunteer every year. They ask for volunteers. My wife went 2 years ago, and she had a really, really enlightening and powerful experience being able to talk to our local state representatives and advocating for our schools. So it's a very... to me, it's a very. I look forward to going one day, but it's a very, very important function that I don't think most people know the PTA is involved in doing.
Right, and the best part about the trip, even though it's not a student program, the students that do go, they get to pass on what they learn to the students at the high school. And learn, you know, they can go back more than one time, and they can teach, you know, others what they've learned. So it's. I think that's the best part about the whole trip.
Well, that is a great component, having the students learn that. And I wonder if they bring that back to their school afterwards.
They do. And in the last few years, we've had them write about their experience and share it with, you know, staff and the other students at the schools.
The next question we have is, how did you get started? Why did you decide to volunteer and really commit to doing this?
Well, I'm not teaching my, I'm not capable of teaching my children algebra, so I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful for the teachers. So I'm going to do what I can to support them. And that was my thought when I first started volunteering, when they were in kindergarten and in nursery school too. But, yeah. And then I felt like, you know, I just wanted to do as much as I could. I'm not working right now in a paid job during the day. So I keep myself really busy doing PTA, and I fell in love with it right away. I fell in love with the camaraderie and the purpose behind helping the teachers. Those who can't teach run the PTA, I guess.
I like that as a tagline for your group.
Yeah.
So for parents who are obviously committed to their children but haven't done volunteer work, What do you recommend to them? How do they get over that obstacle whatever obstacle they may find in their way that stops them from volunteering more?
I'm just one tiny example of what volunteering looks like. It can take on so many forms. You can do things at home at night when you get off from work. You can make phone calls. There's a lot that can be done. There's people that use their office staff to do things for the people. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to volunteer on the PTA, and you can say no to things too. A lot of people think, oh God, if I stick my foot in, then I'll have to go in all the way. And you can just do little things on the PTA. And I think one obstacle for us is that we don't have enough people. Usually they just send out an email instead of going walking up to somebody and saying, will you run the Reflections Art Program? And that's the best way to ask for volunteers. And I think more people would volunteer if they were just simply asked.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have a contact information you want to give out, or a website for people who are inspired by your words and say, all right, my New Year's resolution for 2013 is to do a little bit more volunteering with the PTA?
I would say, well, our directory just went out to all the schools. It has everybody's information on all the PTAs, and so your principal will have your PTA president's information, but also you can go on the school district website. There's a PTA link to Council PTA, and you can email, or you can just go to your school website and go to I think it's parents and then PTA, and then there's an email and a contact there.
Okay.
And you could also, like, for example, at La Bayona, there are monthly meetings that are held, and they're usually on a regular basis. Ours are usually the first Thursday of the month, and I'm pretty sure every elementary school does that. So just look at your school calendar that's probably sent home every month to see when a PTA meeting is happening.
And we're only recommending going to the meetings to find out about additional volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. We are definitely not a pro-meeting podcast. Meetings are about actions, and the shorter they are, the better.
That's
unlike
right.
This podcast, so let's keep going.
Fabulous. We're also very happy that Leslie is a member of United Parents of Culver City. So why did you join UPCC?
I felt like, when I heard about UPCC, I felt like UPCC was doing things that the PTA couldn't do, and I wanted to hear more about that. PTA can't endorse candidates. We tend not to get political until Scott sucks us into it.
Which Scott?
Yeah. Scott McVarish. I haven't had you're probably the same way, but, and I saw that there was a lot of really involved parents, Scott Kekin in particular, and Steve Levin, that were part of it. And I thought, well, these people are really involved and seem to be in the know, so I'm going to check it out.
And what can you, I think you already answered this, but what can UPCC do that the PTA cannot do?
From what I understand, support a candidate that's running for either school board or city council and endorse a candidate, get the word out about candidates. What we do that's the same is speak for parents and,
right.
and children.
What I find interesting is that UPCC will definitely be involved in the school board election in November, and PTA won't be able to take any positions, even if they have an excellent candidate that they know would be a wonderful advocate for children on the school board. Mm-hmm. So what would be your word of advice to PTA members in terms of getting involved with UPCC for the more political side of advocacy for our children?
Yeah, as individuals, PTA members can do, you know, whatever they want, even if they're on a board. They can support candidates and be, you know, vocal about it and active about it. So I would encourage people to join UPCC just for that, just so that they can do that. And they do have a voice and they have a vehicle.
All right. So are you running for school board, Lizzie?
I've been thinking about it. I'd love to.
That's great. Well, we would definitely look forward to that. And please let us know when it happens, because we'll have to have you back on our podcast.
Okay, thank you. I'd love to come back. And thank you for all the good work you guys do.
You're welcome. Thank you, Leslie. Thanks for coming over today.
Okay, we also have some tips. This is a practice that we put in at our last meeting on how to decide what issues are important and what to do about those issues. And Scott was really helpful in setting this up and outlining it. So tell us about that, Scott.
I'll be glad to. And this is good for a parent union like us that has so many issues that we have to dispense with in one meeting. Any one of those issues could take hours. But this could work for any group that meets who has more than one thing on their agenda. We're using a collect, process, and action formula. So we collect the issues. Most of them we're collecting by email before the meeting, although we do let the reps bring issues to the meetings. So we quickly, boom, what's the issues? We had 10 at the last meeting. Then we go to the process stage. So that collection stage, it's just a few minutes. Then we go to the process stage. Each one of them we decide, are we going to take action on this? Or is it untimely, or do we not want to? So we have a quick vote. Are we going to take action, yes or no? The ones that we don't take action on, they just kind of disappear, at least for this meeting. The ones that we do decide to take action on, that brings us to the third section, the action stage, which is the most important stage as far as I'm concerned. And in that stage, we have a couple options. The first is this something we can deal with the district in a meeting, perhaps, maybe with the superintendent at our monthly meeting, maybe with the principals, and we'll make that happen. Secondly, will one of our existing teams want to take that issue? Is it related to stuff they're already working on? Third option is, do we need to form a new team around it? And we call it teams because we're looking for parents from every school to be on that team. It's not a committee. It's a team of dedicated parents wanting to move forward and get stuff done. And then the fourth option, what's the fourth option, Scott?
Fourth option is to whether or not the PAC, the Political Action Committee, will do organizing, starting a campaign like we did for Props 30 and 38.
And we
did for the adjuncts as well.
That's right.
So that would be a more intense, more involved action. It's something that we would have to do over a longer period, and it's something that we've been very effective at making change happen when we get to that stage.
And again, that's the difference between having a parent union and other groups like PTA, because if the district says no to us when you're in a smaller group or in a non-political group, that's pretty much it. But with United Parents of Culver City, we have our mighty, mighty PAC, which is led by no other than Scott Kecken to my right here. Not politically necessarily, but definitely geographically to my right. And he will help organize the campaign, and we will get hundreds of parents involved if necessary.
That would be the plan. And with that, we're going to cue the music. We're signing off for now. Thank you for joining us at United Parents Podcast. See you next month.